podcast is written on the back of the Declaration of Independence, a show in which we pour all our creative frustration into newspaper hats.
Hi, my name's Callum.
And I'm Chelsea.
And this week we
watched, what are we doing it together? We watched
Jujitsu.
So at the end of the last episode. Stop it.
Okay.
So at the end of the last episode, Callum did not choose a film. He had not thought about it, listeners.
No.
Shame on him. Eternal shame. Would you like to now apologise for the fact that you chose Jujitsu on Netflix, having just watched it?
No.
You're wrong, sir.
No, I'm not going to apologise for it.
Why?
Because I think it's an interesting discussion to be had. I don't think this is the worst one we've watched. B, I think we've watched more boring shit. This had some vaguely interesting shit going on. And I mean shit in the bad way.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, that's good shit, man. I mean, like, that's bad shit, man. But it had some interesting bad shit in it.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah?
It was entirely nonsensical, so I don't have a plot description yet again. I don't know what it was.
A man is being chased by a predator-style alien.
Yeah.
He hits his head and he forgets stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Army lady
mm-hmm.
appears, disappears. Templar of jujitsu ninja-style people. Alien, portal, kill the alien, shove it back in the portal. End of the film.
Was that your, like, Twitter 240 character version?
Yeah, basically.
Why did you miss out all the words in the middle of the sentence?
Don't know, because they did the same with the film. They left out large swathes of scenes and plots and just replaced them with action sequences.
Yes.
You know, we just traveled from action piece to action piece, and none of them were particularly remarkable.
It was a stunt showreel. Strung together.
I have noted down here, why do I feel like I'm looking at a stuntman's demo tape?
It really does feel like a stunt person's demo tape, but
yeah.
Like early on, someone who's not necessarily got loads of experience, they just really fucking love it.
Yeah, but that's not to discredit the stunt performers necessarily.
The stunt performers were great. Mm. I'm talking about the choreography.
Yes.
The performance was good.
Yeah.
The choreography. And I know very little about stunt choreography. I'm not really a fan of martial arts films or anything like that.
Yeah.
But we've watched like a Jackie Chan movie together.
We've watched Police Story not too long ago. It's a genre I'm personally trying to get more into because I like Jackie Chan films. And that's kind of about where my knowledge ends. Mm-hmm. I've watched Enter the Dragon. That's about it.
So for me, my entire enjoyment from those films is watching the baffling, incredible stunts and knowing that they're all just done there.
Yeah.
There's no added CGI, there's nothing added. It's all just being done.
Yes.
And that's incredible.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen in this film. The stunts are on a much lower, on a more standard punchy, kicky kind of level.
It's
for
more
the most
of a
part.
A martial arts film.
Yeah.
Than like a stunt film or a fight film even.
So it's all at a lower level in terms of the ambition of the actual stunts, I would say.
Totally.
And also covered in CGI from top to toe for no reason.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that muddy and hide what could be interesting work from obviously experienced and professional stunt performers.
Yeah.
Where do we start?
Well, I mean, we've started talking about stunts. We could continue in that vein.
Sure.
And talk about how they're completely let down by the cinematography.
Yeah, so so the film, I'm imagining the film was kind of sold to people as, oh, it's, you know, it's a martial arts film meets Predator,
mm-hmm.
is the idea.
Which is fair. That's pretty much what it is.
Fair enough. That's a fun, that sounds like a fun pitch.
Yeah.
I'm kind of on board for that. The problem becomes noticeable really quickly.
Within the first two scenes, really.
In it's that the fight sequences aren't necessarily shot well.
Mm.
When that is the focus of your film, the choreography needs to be tip-top. And if the choreography is not tip-top, then you can potentially hide it with some clever camera work.
And good performers.
And good performers.
Which they have.
Yeah. And the problem is they get one thing right. And you have to give it credit, is that a lot of modern films with hand-to-hand combat in hide the punches with like this kind of close-up, cutting around, shaky cam nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't necessarily do that, but they still keep the shaky cam in. So the camera is kind of slightly away from the action, doing these long sort of shaky cam takes. And what they really need to do is just trust themselves a bit more and pull the camera back another foot or two and put it on a fucking tripod and just let us see what's happening.
Yeah, so it's all in, it's for the most part in what I would call a mid shot.
Yeah.
Which is where you can see the actor up to about the hip. And yeah. So you can't really see their legs until they're raising them to kick someone in the chest. Every yeah. other move.
Yeah.
And that means you don't get any of the like speed of the footwork or anything like that. That's really interesting to watch.
Yeah, it starts.
And it's all set. You can then pick up all the tiny things that you don't want to see. Like you can see the alien's skin or suit or whatever. You can see the rubber of that going in on itself.
Yeah, the cheapness
of
it all.
You can see the trainers moving away from what's supposed to be the boot.
Yeah.
You can see the things you don't want to see and you wouldn't see if they trusted that the performance of the stunts is going to be good enough and they just move the camera further back.
Yeah. And the other thing they do to try and cover up that they don't trust their performers is speed ramping. There is a lot. It's so over the top. It's so unnecessary. It's unnecessary.
It is unnecessary.
Because if anything, it dampens the effect of the hit because you don't see it properly. What makes you go, when you're watching a Jackie Chan film, for example, when you're watching Police Story, even when he's doing some of the more simplistic stuff, is that you can see it and you can see cause and effect and reaction.
Yeah.
You can see every beat of it,
yeah.
See how it plays out. And you know that it's real and it makes you go, nothing in this made me go and wince or draw breath or hold myself.
No, because, and I don't mind the odd, here's a slow-mo because this bit is really fucking cool.
Yep.
We can do that now.
Yeah.
The technology is there. Go for it. Don't do it on every single fucking person going to the floor.
You're not Zack Snyder. Yeah. No, it's just unnecessary. And it's just a shame. There is one particular action sequence right up at the front of the film.
Yeah.
With noted, highly regarded martial artist and film star Tony Jaa, not 100% sure on the pronunciation, Ombak guy, who's highly regarded in his field, and it's close to being a good sequence, but it's so far away at the same time.
It gave me a headache, and this is in the first 10 minutes of the film.
It's kind of a scene in two actions, a scene in two halves, sorry. The first half is a handheld camera shot following him around the roofs of this little kind of slummy village area as he beats
Except
people up.
The camera operator. When you think about these things, you go, oh, wow, that's amazing. And you don't even think about there's a camera operator behind that person.
Oh,
doing
my
that.
Gosh. Tom Cruise jumped out of a plane in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
And someone else had to do the same thing, but with a camera strapped to their head. That's
right?
Incredible.
But in this film, you do notice it because the camera person cannot keep up and cannot hold the camera even vaguely near still.
Yeah.
I can almost hear the camera person breathing like...
I was going to say the same thing. You could hear her go...
I was running after that dude.
Like that underneath it, yeah.
That's what it would look like if I was running after that dude, and I don't run.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, totally.
And it's such a shame because what the performer's doing is great.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And then...
And he's really charismatic as well. Barely says anything. is basically just there to fight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they all are.
And it was still good to watch.
Yeah. And then on top of that, they add in all of these, like, CGI dust explosions and gun swoops coming past. And don't film it in this shaky cam way to make me believe what's happening is real. And then add a bunch of, like, basically, like, space laser effects. They weren't, but that kind of thing over the top, because it just pulls me out.
And also, if you're going to do that, tell the actors it's happening, because no one reacts to anything, any of the CGI elements that happen in this film.
That's another. We'll get onto the flying.
But the amount
the
of
flying
times,
saw blades.
The amount of times a sort of laser bullet thing came towards someone, didn't come out the other side, clearly hit them, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't continue the effect past them.
And then, so this sort of sequence at the beginning has a sort of a little section in the middle where another person joins in and has to escape the village with him, and the camera is meant to be first person, like a video game, except you're clearly chest mounted because the hands are like right next to you.
And they can't actually reach around because they seem to, rather than doing what most people do, which is actually two different arms at different times, they've just tried to get the actor to put his arms around, so they
like
only come a little bit in front of the camera.
He's hugging like a little cameraman.
Yeah.
And then, without cutting, the camera then pulls out into a third-person view, and then back into a first-person view, and then in and out. It's really odd. It's
very confusing.
And it's not an effect that is continued.
No.
The film continually references like comic books in part of its art style. Doesn't make sense when you're going to have that scene. Why aren't you referencing video games?
Yeah.
Why is it not...
like a Mortal Kombat reference or something.
Right? Yeah. Not even that. Anything. Doom film with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Pile of shit, but it has these really good first-person sequences which replicate the look of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is, as far as I'm aware, based on a hot, sweaty fever dream that the director had. So why the fuck is it referencing comic books or...
No, I wondered whether it was based on a comic or a graphic novel or something, but...
I don't believe so.
Hmm.
I don't believe so. It may well be.
It felt like someone who had, one, just bought a camera, a very good camera, and two, someone who had just discovered, like, iMovie from 2013. It was like, oh, you can put all these effects on things, and this one's called comic book effect, but all it does is wash everything out.
Yeah, so there's these sort of transition-y sort of... sequences between the chunks of the film that are supposed to be like sort of scene markers almost, but they're done in the style of comic book frames,
which we've seen before. That's nothing new.
No.
Usually it's accompanied by a bit of voiceover or something, so you get to know your lead character and there might be a little bit of humor in them or something.
Yeah
And it fills in the blank of the exposition and story that you don't want.
The slightly uninteresting, we had to go from temple A to temple B and it was a long walk.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, it gets that done with. But it's completely silent.
Yeah.
Just random stills with characters that you never meet in them.
Yeah, they're odd.
Like, there was that bonfire with two people next to it and I was like, who are they?
I think they're meant
we
to
never
be.
See them again.
They're meant to be our main characters, but they just didn't look like our main characters.
There was a blonde white woman.
I think that was supposed to be the blonde Asian woman.
But she had like short hair and she was all cool.
Okay. I didn't pay that much attention. Okay. But yeah, like they're weird and pointless. They're weird and pointless.
Weird and pointless is what I would
it
call
feels,
this movie.
It feels like an excuse.
Yeah.
Like they go, oh yeah, it's just cheap shit fun. Like a comic book is cheap shit fun. Even though we clearly know that comic books are an art form in and of themselves.
Yeah.
And they aren't cheap shit fun when they try and attempt to be good stuff.
Yeah.
It just feels like an excuse. Or they were just including the deviant art, fan art from the film before the film was released in the film.
Oh, premonition fan art.
Inception fan art.
Someone in 2007 drawing a picture going...
Maybe that's what it was based on.
I'm getting this image of a man. He's a white man, of course, but he's really good at fucking jujitsu.
He's in martial art films.
He's fighting an alien.
And Nicolas Cage is dressed as Willie Nelson.
So I've written, this was from Cage's Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen phase, but I think when we first meet him, he looks like Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen, and I'm not sure this is a reference that anyone outside of the UK will understand.
How dare you talk of Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen has a far more lustrous mane of hair than
I feel like. He doesn't anymore. He just has a really good hairstylist. But I feel like if you left Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen in a desert for like 3 days, that is exactly what.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. If Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen like lost everything to gambling,
yeah,
like a few months down the road, it'd look like that. Yeah.
For non-UK listeners, Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen is an interior designer who rose to prominence in the late 90s, early noughties.
Yeah, with a show called Changing Rooms.
Yes. In which
people swap, like wife swap, but for decorating your bedroom.
Is wife swap a better?
I think they have wife swap USA.
I know, but is that still a thing? I thought that finished forever.
But you know, they swap their houses and they decorate the rooms. So yeah, talking about Cage in this film.
Yeah,
he's playing a kind of the wise, older mentor type who's fallen on tough times kind of thing. A bit hermity. Lives in this hole in the ground and was clearly only available for 3 days.
Yes.
So I looked this up. It's IMDb. And yes, the film shot for 6 weeks and he was there for 3 days.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
It's not... I mean, they managed to get a lot out of him in 3 days, seeing the rest of the film took 6 weeks.
But there were night shoots and things as well. Clearly.
Here we go.
So he probably was 24 hours on a roll.
I wrote 3 days down when I found out that he was on set for 3 days to keep a track of what he shot each day.
Okay.
So day one, they shot the scene in the rabbit hole at the beginning. His home, the introduction, there's a fight scene in there.
Mm-hmm.
Day two, they shot anything that was outside at daytime and the temple.
Okay, yeah.
And then day three was the night shoot and they shot everything at night.
Yeah.
And then he went home.
And then they realised they didn't have any long shots, so they got a stand-in to do it weeks later on the night shoot.
Yeah.
When they needed another night shoot.
Yeah.
A very clear stand-in who's not allowed to move or look towards the character, so... look towards the camera.
Camera,
is what I meant.
Yeah, there's these odd shots.
So when the characters walk past him... he can't engage with them at all. He just has to ignore them because if he turns towards the camera, you'll see that it's definitely not Nicolas Cage.
The best one is they're around a campfire at the night and Nicolas Cage is poking the campfire.
Yeah.
And then they hear a sound behind them.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage's character does nothing because the camera then goes behind him and he turns into a body double. And the other guy investigates.
Yeah.
And Nicolas Cage is just... Nicolas Cage, inverted commas, the stand-in is just sort of sat there awkwardly, not prodding the fire anymore. And then it cuts back to the main shot and he's prodding the fire again and acting. He's fine.
Fine. Just
he's fine,
honestly.
They give him some kooky dialogue. I feel like maybe once they finally cast Nick Cage, they were like, oh, we'll pepper in some slightly weird Cage-erisms.
Get off my piano!
And he... in the middle of a fight scene says you need to get hobbies. Here's my hobby. I make newspaper hats. I make origami newspaper hats. And he puts one on and then he takes it off and then the fight scene continues. But the film cost $25 million to make.
$25 million.
Nicolas Cage took $5 million of that
in
his back pocket and he fucked off home.
In 3 days. Can you imagine making $5 million in 3 days?
That'd be great.
I mean, like, what, $1 million of that goes on tax or whatever? Maybe not.
Depends.
Like, wow.
Yeah. And
3 days.
Originally, they had cast Bruce Willis in the role, another man who's famous for turning up on set for 2 days and then fucking off.
Mm-hmm.
And the director reportedly said, oh, we don't know what happened to Bruce. He just stopped answering our phone calls.
Wow!
Like, he said he really liked the script, and then he just stopped answering our phone calls.
That's hardcore, isn't it?
But like there are lots of reports that Bruce is like the reports go for Cage that even when he turns up on these shit films, that he's still nice to the crew, and he's like, hi. He's here to do a job, but he's nice and he's polite and he shakes fans' hands and he talks to people when he gets the chance.
And that's the real basics. Like,
yeah, it shouldn't be praised. It should just be accepted that you should be like that on a film set.
Because the crew are your colleagues just as the rest of the cast are your colleagues. Exactly. So if you're rude to the crew, you're being rude to your colleagues and fuck you.
You can be a famous actor and you can be doing a shit job and getting your paycheck. But if you're rude to someone and they don't want to fucking point the camera at you, it's all fucking pointless.
Yeah.
So just respect the crew. Bruce Willis, on the other hand, is supposedly a piece of shit.
Doesn't
refuses to talk
me.
To people, sits in his trailer, gets pulled out, sits there, does absolutely zero effort, forces people to do, like, genuinely, like, 48-hour days so that he can just be there one day and gone for a film. And then they'll shove his face on the DVD cover so they can sell it. And that feels a little bit like what's happening here, but not to such an egregious quality. You do get a fair amount of Nicolas Cage without him being a lead role. Like, he's in it. He is in it, and he does stuff, and he has an effect on the plot.
Yeah.
You know, he in a film about jiu-jitsu, he does a bit of fighting.
Yes.
When it could have easily been a case of, you know,
yeah, because we've factored in the rehearsal for that last fight.
Yeah. You know, it could have easily been a case of inconceivable. Oh, we've got Faye Dunaway.
Mm.
And it could have just been Nicolas Cage sitting on a chair all the time because he doesn't want to get up.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of feel what you get with Bruce Willis. I mentioned Willie Nelson earlier as well.
Yeah.
Because Nicolas Cage said that his character was inspired, or his performance was inspired by Willie Nelson and Vin Diesel.
Sorry, his 3-day, 10-line performance was inspired by Willie Nelson and Vin Diesel. Is he actually trying to tell me he put effort into this thing?
Maybe.
Because while I say he was fine in that he clearly didn't, he wasn't that bothered.
No. But yeah.
He was serviceable. He turned up, did his job, clocked out at 5 p.m. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He did his 9-to-5.
He
didn't do any research for this. Don't lie to me.
I want to see Willie Nelson join the Fast and the Furious family.
I might actually enjoy it then.
Right? That'd be great. See Willie Nelson wandering around giving out weed to the family just about while, as you know, they're about to take down a tank with a car. Or destroy a satellite with a car, or whatever they do.
That goddamn contract is somewhere in those goddamn fucking files!
I can't believe I just spent an hour and 40 minutes of my life watching this movie. I'm genuinely slightly angry about it. And I can't believe you haven't apologised yet.
Why are you so angry about this film?
Firstly, it's not in any way a film I would ever have had any interest in if we weren't making this show.
Yeah.
So already I'm kind of like, okay, if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it just feels like a bit of an insult to people who genuinely try to make really good films.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Like, just in terms of the quality of what's come out of it, feels insulting to people who can't get their stuff financed because, oh, it's a small indie film about women or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, what I'm assuming has happened here, because the executive producer has the same surname as the director/writer/producer. So I'm assuming they have a rich family member/spouse.
Maybe.
And that is how they've got this film financed.
Mm.
And that pisses me off. Just that assumption. Because rich people get to do everything and not work for it. And it doesn't matter because they'll have money at the end of the day if it massively flops anyway. How did that film cost $25 million? How?
They had to make a rubber alien suit.
Jesus.
They had to pay Nicolas Cage $5
million. Where did the other 20 go? How many people did they have on that crew?
I don't know.
What were they buying for craft services? Is everyone eating fucking oysters all day?
Caviar.
I don't know. Yeah, so I'm angry.
You just... Sometimes
I really
a film
didn't
hits,
like it.
Hits you, and I say you, not specifically you, but collectively. Okay. Sometimes a film can hit you in a way where you just feel insulted by it.
I feel insulted by
it. And this one's got you. Yeah.
It really has. Because also, how can you put stunt performers in a thing and then not do them the decency of filming them properly and letting them do their job?
Yeah.
Because it then makes the stunt performer look shit when they're not.
Mm.
They're just one, not being given the right stuff to do, or two, not being shot properly.
Yeah.
And stunts are really hard. People look down on stunt performers.
Yes.
And to them, I say, could you fucking do it?
Well, I mean, we've got the Oscars coming up tonight.
Yeah.
At the time of record. Still, yeah, after years and years of campaigning, there is not a stunt performance category.
I mean, we've only just... Have we got... No, we had casting at the BAFTAs. Have we got casting now at the Oscars?
I don't honestly remember.
People just don't give a shit.
No.
They don't give a shit.
Just give me that best film and give me a celebrity doing a funny thing like falling over or clapping weirdly. Shall we talk about the alien in the film?
If we must.
So, the alien is called Brax, because the writer saw Guardians of the Galaxy and changed one letter.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And the alien, in concept, is kind of intriguing. So it's mainly just a kind of a rubbery suit thing.
Mm.
But for the head, they've clearly replaced it with like a... It's got kind of like a flat screen for a face, which is normally just blue. It's clearly they've put a green screen in there and superimposed some images over the top of it. And occasionally you see like this flicker of a bad face.
The face looks like Thanos and Voldemort made a baby and put it in an alien costume.
It looks really bad. It looks really bad.
It looks like they've gone for the comic book like drawn effect. But it doesn't happen anywhere else, and you never see it for long enough to know if that is actually what they've done.
Yeah. It
or
just
if they've
doesn't
just paid
need to be
a 14
there.
Year old to draw it.
Doesn't need to be there. It's really odd.
It's creepier when it's just full on.
Yeah, it's creepier when it's just a screen, because it makes it look more alien.
Yeah.
The suit itself is clearly just a bunch of rubber.
Yeah, but in long shots, and when you first see it, perfectly fine. Yeah. Really, you know, cool looking, generic-y rubber alien.
Cheap
design.
Film alien.
Yeah.
But it's not bad, but then clearly the problem is you have to make something that's flexible enough for a stunt performer to flip about and do all the jiu-jitsu and fighting in.
Because the non-existent story is that the alien taught the human main character, Jack, Jake, something like that, some generic bland-ass name, taught him jiu-jitsu.
I don't think he taught him
taught
personally.
The humans jiu-jitsu.
Taught the humans, and then throughout the years it's been passed down.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then for no reason, they have to use jiu-jitsu to kill the alien. Once every 6 years. We haven't explained, like, oh, a human betrayed the alien by killing its family or whatever.
Yeah.
There's no backstory. It's just, he gave us jiu-jitsu, we've got to use it to kill him.
Yeah.
Hooray.
And, it just looks like a Power Ranger villain, doesn't it?
It does a bit.
It's just a bit, like... Like you said, you can see the trainers poking out underneath. And like I was saying, like when we were watching, if you're a limited budget movie and or if you need your alien to be able to do all of these stunts, then maybe just have a more humanoid alien.
Yeah. Leave
or
them room to move.
Go the complete opposite other way and have like a puppet or something that's completely non-humanoid.
Okay. Yeah.
Have this weird thing, this bug or whatever, and then it morphs into a human or something like that. Just there are other options other than putting man in rubber suit.
Yes.
And shooting it in broad daylight so you can see the creasing of the suit and the zipper up the
as
back.
They walk.
Yeah. It's not great, is it?
Neither is the CGI.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. There are points where they've CGI'd blood in a pool on the floor, and I'm like, mate, it's not hard to make, dudes.
Yeah, they over-rely on digital squib effects.
That could be so easily done practically and would not look awful.
More to the point, 80% of them don't need to be there.
No.
It could be bloodless.
Yeah.
You still get the impact. If anything, it takes away from the impact of a punch or a kick because you go, what? When you see the shit Looney Tunes style blood spurt up in the air. Just take the blood away. I know that the guy's gonna die.
Yeah.
I don't need the blood. Like...
that and every gunfire effect, every flash, all of it.
Muzzle flashes. Yeah, there's moments where there's speed ramping and the bullet leaves like a Matrix-style wibbly air trail behind. The worst offender is that the alien Brax has a few sort of special abilities. One is like this extendable sword that comes out of his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is he's got like wrist shooters. You know when you're a kid and the Spider-Man films came out and you could buy these little plastic gloves that shot like foam discs out of your hands?
Yeah.
They've got them, spray painted them silver, and then they're going to fire like circular ninja star blade style things.
Oh, yes, that can sort of cut knives in half and things.
Yeah, and stab people and all that kind of stuff. Yes. It's not a bad idea for a villain's weapon.
No, they look like throwing stars. I kind of get what they're going for.
The problem is... anytime they're on screen, the actors clearly have no idea where any of these things are meant to be coming from or going. So they're just kind of standing there and they've got things flying millimetres from their face and they're not reacting, not ducking.
Because they haven't been told.
Because they haven't been told they're there.
You can't act something if your director hasn't told you it's happening.
Or at the worst.
If you're running through a forest and you don't know that this alien's shooting at you, you're not going to like be ducking and weaving like you're being shot at. You're just going to be running as fast as you can.
If you get the footage back and you sit there after the day and you go, shit, I didn't really direct him to dodge specific blades, then don't have them fire at the rate of 1, 2, 3, 4, because they're that quick.
Yeah.
Just have them like strategically like, there's a blade. He's running. There's a blade. Have them more sparingly used. There is literally 1,000 blades coming out of this guy's fucking wrists.
And clearly he's got stormtrooper syndrome because they never hit anything they're supposed to.
Well, they never hit a main character.
No, exactly.
No.
It feels almost like an afterthought.
Oh, it totally is.
How do I make this look more exciting?
Yeah. Totally. And there's obviously nothing on set. There's no physical version of these blades to like, there's no like impacts on the environment.
No.
They've just added it all in later.
Even if the director turns around and goes, okay, I'm going to throw throwing stars at you. It's going to hit you by your right ear, your left hip, the top of your head and by your right knee.
Yeah.
In that order, I'll clap when they're there and that's when you dodge. That's all you have to do.
The majority of the cast are stunt performers. They know how to do this shit.
Yeah.
If they're told, they know how to do it.
Yeah.
And
they clearly just weren't told.
So you can't blame them. You've just got to blame the director.
Has this director done anything else? Do we know?
Let me have a look up. I believe the person
Dimitri
has
someone.
I believe they have a background in this kind of filmmaking, as in sort of martial arts inspired films.
Oh, interesting.
Dimitri Logothetis. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Logothetis.
And he is responsible for jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
Kickboxer, Retaliation, Wings of the Dragon, Momo, The Sam Giancana Story, The Lost Angel, Air America, Operation Jaguar, Dark Realm, Code Eternity, Air America, a bunch of TV, mostly sort of action films. Something called Slaughterhouse Rock, which sounds strangely right up my street. And yeah, the last few things seem to be sort of martial arts inspired.
So I wonder then if this is maybe the first step for this director into the realm of sci-fi?
Maybe. maybe.
In terms of, none of those seem necessarily like they might be sci-fi-y.
He directed something called Titan Wars back in 95.
Oh, maybe.
That looks very sci-fi-y.
I don't know. First time in 25 years, though.
Yeah. But yeah. It's...
I'm just trying to find excuses for the bad CGI and the bad directing that's come along with it. It seems like someone who's not experienced in this sort of thing and is the kind of person who I have encountered several times who on set will go, we'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to fix it now.
And you can fix certain things in post,
You could have fixed that stuff in, like, one extra shot. Just do one more take.
A lot of it's easier to do in person.
Yeah.
So just do it in person.
And it makes the editor's job easier.
Yeah, just do it there and then. It's actually cheaper and easier to do it than in post.
God, we sound like nerds.
Yeah.
Do you want some reviews, or have you got something else to talk about?
Nope, let's go to the review zone. Review zone.
Now, I'm often surprised at how much people enjoy films we hate on Amazon.
Sorry, we're not going to talk about my jingle.
No, we're not.
Okay, go on.
As I was saying before I was rudely interrupted by the man in the cupboard, I'm usually quite shocked at how much people seem to enjoy films that we really don't like.
Yes.
When I look for these Amazon reviews.
Yeah, there's always a few.
Mm-hmm. This one has an average of 2.7 out of 5. This one I didn't read, I just chose it for the title. Martin J. Hairsign? I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Calls their review, Nick Cage has been in more turkeys than Bernard Matthews. And
Is that suggesting that Bernard Matthews fucks his turkeys?
I've only just realised as I read it out loud, I went, haha, turkeys Bernard Matthews when I read it on my phone. And reading it out loud, I realised that implies that he fucks
his turkeys, yeah.
Or at least puts his hand in the turkeys.
Oh, no.
I don't think that's what is intended.
Yeah.
Poor. Fight scenes are reasonably good, but the acting is dire, especially from the lead actor. And that's in quotes because the lead actor says, like, nothing for the whole film.
Yeah, they're...
He's just a piece of wood in it, honestly. He's just there. One practical point that puzzled me. Just how TF, which is the fuck?
I think the kids call it the fuck.
How the fuck did the archer manage to launch her arrows with such velocity and over such distance only by using 6 inches of elastic on her forearm?
Yes, one of the female leads has a bow and arrow that is actually like a wrist-mounted...
It's a gauntlet.
Gauntlet, yes.
Yes, and these arrows fire way fucking up into the sky. They're magic arrows.
It's not established. They're like flares. She uses them like twice. That's it.
She used it a few times.
Did she?
And also she put no effort into it. So she pulls it and you're like, that's going to go nowhere.
Because it's ridiculous. Literally... It looks like it should have come in a box in the 90s with like the phrase spyware and be sold in like Toys R Us.
I would have loved it.
Yeah.
I would have loved a toy like
Comes
that.
Comes with a little pen that's also invisible ink. That kind of shit.
Do you want to speak to someone who enjoyed it?
Go on then. Get them up.
South Somerset. Just the whole of South Somerset.
Yeah, they collectively got together.
5 stars. Mm-hmm. Brilliant film.
Oh, okay.
Nicolas Cage, done it yet again. Brilliant film. Got everything. Action. Good storyline. Brilliant cast. Fantastic. A must-see. Over and over again. And Colin says, good film. Something different.
Okay. I like the implication with that first one that Nicolas Cage is responsible.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage has done it again.
He made this film.
He made it.
It was brilliant.
In the 3 days he was on set, he made it.
SDX says, a cheesy but fun retro action sci-fi. 4 stars.
Mm.
For what it is, Jiu-Jitsu is probably the most fun I've had in ages.
No, no.
It's cheesy and low budget, but it really makes do with what budget it has. I disagree. I feel like corn syrup and... red food colouring is cheaper than CGI blood, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's pretty action-packed all the way through. It starts slower and builds up the pace, and the last 30 to 40 minutes is a blast. also disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at my phone more than I looked at the film in the last 30 to 40 minutes. The casting is all good. Everyone gets involved with the action, which is mostly fight scenes. All the fights are done pretty well. Even with the bigger stars like Nicolas Cage get some alien butt-kicking action. Even though he has a stunt double for certain scenes, it's edited pretty well not to look bad. I mean,
I disagree. It's really obvious and it does look bad, yeah.
The effects mostly throughout the whole movie are decent.
No.
And the alien suit is quite cool.
Mm.
It's a cross between Geiger's alien and Geiger bio-boosted armour.
Don't know what the second one is.
I don't know. Bio-boosted armour, is that a Bioshock thing?
Maybe, or I don't know. Whatever kids are playing. Fortnite? Is it an Animal Crossing thing? Rocket League?
I would know if it was an Animal Crossing thing.
Stardew Valley?
Animal Crossing with guns. The most relaxing game ever. Turned on its head. The movie is just one crazy blend of mental sci-fi action. It's a mix-up of Predator. My brain just broke there for a second. It's a mix-up of Predator with Mortal Kombat and other movies. Just non-discriminate other movies all in one.
Kramer versus Kramer. There's a little bit of It's a Wonderful Life in there.
It reminds me of something that I would have rented on VHS back in the early 90s.
Mm.
Which, when our internet dropped and it turned to pixels, yes. I did turn to you and go, this actually kind of makes it better.
Looks better.
It looks better in pixels.
Yeah, it did remind me very much of the first Mortal Kombat movie from the 90s.
It's well worth checking out. It's certainly good fun. It has its flaws here and there. You don't fucking say. And could have been much better with a bigger budget and a few changes. But hell, it's the most retro thing I've seen in ages and I would defo watch again. The Blu-ray has a good HD picture. No special features. Running time 107 minutes, 2020. English language only option. First lot come with a slip over, region B.
It's nice to get that info.
Yeah.
I feel like there is something in there, in that there was clearly like it's just a bit of a mess around retro kind of film. And if they lent into that more. And gave it that style, it could have been more fun. And you could have excused the budget. Almost make it like an attempt at a grindhouse, like late 90s. Give it that kind of like techno thumping like soundtrack that you get from Mortal Kombat, the Mortal Kombat film.
Mortal Kombat.
That's what it is when you get it.
The makeup edition.
When you get it on a USB stick for later. But you give it, if you gave it that kind of score, that kind of music.
Wow.
I think I could have got on board with it a bit more. Okie doke. I think that's about it, isn't it, from us?
Yeah, I've got nothing else to say about this pile of shit.
On jiu-jitsu. When we return, it will be the shark cage again.
Yes, so, listeners.
The annual shark cage tradition.
Callum is fucking off on tour again.
Yeah, I'm off to
By
work.
By the time you hear this episode, he will already be long gone.
Yep.
So, we're going to record another 3 films in one day, because how fun was that last time?
Ooh!
Do you remember when we got to G-Force and, like,
our
we're dying
were mush.
In front of the mic?
Yeah.
We're going to do it again.
So, we're going to slow down our release schedule to make sure that we've got enough to cover the majority of when I'm away. So you will now only be getting episodes once a month.
Instead
I apologise.
Instead of once a fortnight.
I apologise. Boo-hoo. But
it's all his fault.
Use all that extra free time you get on the second Monday, the third Monday of the month, to go out and enjoy the sunshine.
Sunshine?
Go out and enjoy yourself. We'll still be here, but we'll just be going to the first Monday of the month.
First Monday of the month.
There we go.
I will try and remember the release schedule.
Yeah. And we'll be back for 3 very tired and exasperated episodes as we enter the shark cage.
Dun, dun, dun!
So we're going to do some shameless plugging this
Woo-hoo!
Week. While we're talking about the summer, I am going to be on the road this summer, touring the further adventures of Dr. Dolittle with Elyria Theatre. Google Elyria Theatre Dr. Dolittle. You'll find all the information about that on the website.
If you're in the UK.
Yes. Chelsea's also got a project going on at the moment. She has been writing short pieces of work every day of the year so far, based on prompts she set herself. And the website for that is...
The Year of Tall Tales.
So Google that and go and read them. They are very good. She also has a poem coming out in an online magazine.
Yes. Untitled Voices. It's in Volume 3, Issue 1.
Exciting stuff. Please check those out. We like the support we get when we do get it. Anyway, we will see you soon for Shark Cage Volume 2.
Part 1.
Part 1.
What's the film?
We are going with...
You've forgotten.
The Runner.
The Runner.
The Runner.
Ooh.
It's a on
Prime.
It's a nondescript title, but it is on Prime. We're going with The Runner. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to our silly little podcast. If you've enjoyed yourself, the best thing you could do for us would be to leave us a little review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps other people find the show. If you'd like to help us out a little bit more, you can find us on all the usual social medias at Nick Cage Pod. That's at NICCAGEPOD. I'm talking Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. And if that's still not enough, or if you've got a spare couple of quid burning a hole in your pocket, you can buy us a virtual coffee at ko-fi.com/Nick Cage Pod. After all, we need to pay for these ridiculous movies somehow.